adult ego state. Adult ego state is all to do with information that comes to you. You process the information and you take your action. Adult ego state is also called as an experiential ego state, wherein I actually go through an experiment and an experience. My dad tells me, don't climb the tree, you'll fall down. If my adult ego state is capturing it and my cognition says, dad is saying not to climb the tree, I'll fall down, let me climb. I'll be into the action of climbing the tree. I may fall down, I may not fall down, but I'll climb the tree. After climbing the tree, what will happen? My experience tells me, people don't fall down when they climb the tree. First experience. Again I'll climb. I'll keep on climbing. And chances are that I've never fallen down. So I may go and tell people, this, my old man, my father is mad. He keeps telling you'll fall down. I've never fallen down. So many years I'm climbing the tree, I've not fallen down. So it's an experiential adult ego statement. If you want to develop adult ego state, learn to experience and experiment. And it's very important for people to be emotionally balanced to learn to experience and experiment themselves. And when you do this, this helps you in your interpersonal conflict. I'm connecting it with the earlier discussion I had some time back. Okay, now I may fall down another day from the tree. I'll say, so what? I've climbed the tree 10 times, only once I fall. So what? I'm still into it. This is adult ego state. It can be another case also. My father tells me, don't climb the tree, you'll fall down. I've climbed the tree, I haven't fallen down. So what? I'm going to climb again. I'll climb in such a way that I'll not fall down. Experimentation of your adult state. These are experiential people, the people who like to experiment and go ahead. One thing we can safely tell about behavior. Behavior is experiential and experimental. Behavior is not intellectual. So if you are intellectually thinking that if you take statistics, so many people climbed up the tree, they fell down, so many did not fall down, so I can climb, you will be the biggest fool. Sorry to say this. You have to experience behavior. Behavior is not intellectual, it is experiential. So unless you go through that, this will not be understood, what we are discussing right now. Over to the slide, it says, individual acts as a matured person. Characteristics include being cool-headed, rational behavior, calculative, objectivity, and so many words the author has put there. In an organization, when you're working, we are dealing with information to get things done. So my colleague, my subordinate, my boss is giving me information. He has to operate from adult ego state, and my adult ego state has to respond to him. A to A, we call it A1 and A2. A2A, when it operates, we are dealing with issues and we solve issues. But we are human beings. So my child may respond to his adult. Venkat, do this thing. I want it today. But suddenly my ego states, I have been used to people telling me to do some things and I have not liked it. So I start revolting. I may not say, but then I'll start taking defense mechanism. I may not do it. So his adult is addressing to my ego, my child state. I have a problem. If my child responds, I'll get emotionally responsive. How can you say such a thing? I can't do this today, etc., etc., etc. And then there'll be a conflict. To resolve a conflict, we say that adult and adult have to interact with each other. That's a training. I'll come to that little later in this slide. Okay? Now we come to the third state, which is called the parent state, parent ego state. Now parent ego state is of two types, critical parent and nurturing parent. Now what is this ego state? Anybody and everybody who is into giving information, dominating, instructing. Now I am playing the role of a parent ego state right now as a faculty giving the lecture to you guys. It's my ego state that is now doing these things, right? Now this parent state is giving instructions, is giving controlling, and all these things I am giving from my side. Now this can be critical, which means I'll say that, hey, you guys do not know, I have so many years of experience. You are like this, you are like that. And I start criticizing everything. And I say that I am a holier than thou person. That's a critical parent. So many parents or many people who are parent figures, or there are certain people, need not be parents, they have a lot of this information in them, a lot of this energy in them, where they are critical about things, they are dominating, they keep on giving directions to people. If you are in the vicinity of such a person, a critical parent gives rise to a hurt child or an adaptive child in the other person. A critical parent in A gives rise to a hurt child or an adaptive child in B. Two of them are in front of each other. If this happens again and again, this person, if he doesn't know how to adapt his hurt child or the adaptive child, ego state will start increasing. Which means, every situation, when somebody is doing this criticism, he will go into a defensive. He'll emotionally respond. Not always good. A nurturing parent is more supportive. I may tell you, listen guys, listen to what I'm saying. This is OB, organization behavior, learn it, do this, etc., etc. Now, I cannot say that if you don't do this, your life will be not good. I say, fine, do it. And then I give you the freedom to choose. So when I give you the freedom to choose, I am, my nurturing parent in me is now playing a role. So if somebody comes and tells me, sir, I've got stuck up here because I did this. I said, okay, what can we do? Come on, let's see. Instead of telling him, look, I told you now not to do this and yet you did this. That is a critical parent. Now to become a nurturing parent, you need to develop your own self inside. And one of the things is my intrapersonal conflict, I need to learn to resolve it properly. Then the nurturing parent awakens. So these are the three states which is given as a introductory for the TA. Now we are talking about how this plays a role in people's lives. There are what are called as complementary or parallel transactions. Complementary or parallel transactions. I'm not reading from the slide. I'll explain to you. You can listen to me. When the child state in me, C1, and your child state in you, C2, when we both interact, it's complementary or parallel transaction. Two lines going towards each other. One arrow going from me to you, another arrow coming from you to me. What will be the state of conversation? We'll be talking emotionally. I'll be talking emotions, fun, sorrow, or sadness, something, and you will be also talking emotion. Both of us are into emotional plane. This is a parallel transaction. Usually parallel transactions do not have any conflict. It goes on. Experiential. This is more about feelings, child state. Adult to adult talking to each other. When adult and adult are talking to each other, what happens? Information is exchanged. By the way, parental state, the parental ego state, has got what is called as a taught data, T-A-U-G-H-T, taught, T-A-U-G-H-T, taught data. Adult state has got thought data, T-H-O-U-G-H-T, thought. And child state has got felt data. They are classified in three identifiable categories, taught, thought and felt, P-A-C. Coming back to this, parallel transactions, they result in no conflicts. They result in harmony. Sometimes even too much of a complacence. Okay? So if adult and adult are talking, one person's thought data, another person's thought data, one person's experiential data, the other person's experience data, they are being exchanged. So they are handling issues in most cases. In an organization, it is expected that we are into A1 to A2 all the time. Expected. But you can't be like that 24/7, you are a human being. Now parent to parent, P1 to P2, when that thing takes place, that is a parallel or a complementary transaction. Wherein people are talking, taught data is given another taught data. These days, youngsters, they don't listen to you. The other person says, yeah, I know, look at the way they are all traveling today. Everybody is having a plugged in FM and they are walking. Ceaselessly, they are walking the roads blissfully unaware of what's going on. Yeah, yesterday so and so thing happened. A and B are discussing. Both are critical about today's world. So both the parental state are awakened and they are talking. The same person after some time will get into adult also. So when the situation demands, your ego state start responding. Okay? I'll take it further. Now, some of these complementary transactions are given here. P to C. Parent to child, my parent is addressing your child and your child responds to me. Is this a way to sit in the class? Sorry, sir. Is this a way to sit in the class? You're saying, sorry, sir. So P going from me to you, to your C, and the C responds. Superior is a parent and the subordinate is a child. Not child as in a child, but the child state. Subordinate follows orders of the superior, done in routine activities and decisions. PC transactions. AA transaction, I've already explained, superior and subordinate both are adults, both think rationally, this is done for strategic decisions and for certain problem solving. CP, child in me is addressing the parent in you. So the child in me says, look, I'm upset with the fact that this particular working conditions you're giving me. And if the superior, if the parent in you is nurturing, you say, don't worry, let's look into it. Come on, let's see what exactly is the matter. So, use for powerful subordinates and superior listens to due to compulsions of fear, threat, or maybe he is emotionally intelligent. Complementary transactions. Complementary transactions are usually used in conflict management to bring about conflict resolution. That's why we are learning this. One of the tools, there are many tools, one of them is TA. Now, cross transactions are the ones that create conflict. Is this the way to sit in the class? Parent telling the child in you, the student. Now, instead of responding and saying, sorry, I'm sorry, sir, or you know, you're responding from the child state, you may choose to go to the adult state and respond. What's wrong? I think I'm sitting perfectly okay. Logic is coming in the picture. Now, your logic, if it meets my parent, the adult is going to parent, is crossing. PA. When it crosses, my parent will get provoked. You're telling me what to tell you, I'll get angry with you. Okay? Unless I have the emotional intelligence to say, hey, the adult in that person is talking, if I want to resolve the issue, my adult I have to awaken. I say, look, what you're sitting is perfect. There's a class and a decorum. Now, do you realize, see how others are sitting? Same, use the same logic and explain to him or her. I'm not saying it will always work, but this is the best shot you can give to see that the conflict doesn't take place if you really want the conflict not to happen. PA, PP, AC and CC. These are the combination they've given. Now, this is the way this author has written, but in the TA, there are different versions. I've explained to you my version, which I use in my trainings and all. For the purpose of exams, please go through this and take my guidance and combine both and understand the whole process of TA. The message sent or the behavior exhibited by one person is reacted to by an incompatible or unexpected response from another person's ego state. I've explained that in my own words. Okay? Cross transactions, to avoid this, either of the parties or both parties have to change their ego state, like I told you. If the situation is routine, then one in A should shift to C and convert to P and A. Now, all this I'm not explaining, I've already done it. Okay, let's take it further. There are what are called as ulterior transactions, selfish transactions, which means I use, underline the word use, I use an ego state to get things done. It's not natural. Parents, mothers use ulterior transactions with their children to feed them food. This involves at least two ego states. On one hand, the mother will say, you are my ladla, you are my good child, will you not listen to your mother, what am I doing? My parent, nurturing parent, is coaxing the free child in you to respond. And when you respond, I'm giving you what I want to do, and then I put you into that state. Now, this is the nurturing part of it that comes into picture. But the purpose of nurturing is to get something done from you. Not to give you food alone, but I say, after you eat food, do me a favor now. Why don't you go to the bank and get this check in cash? Ulterior transactions. We are all victims of ulterior transactions. Everybody uses each other. We manipulate each other through ulterior transactions. There are no pure transactions of only cross or only parallel. It's always ulterior. Understand it. Don't give it a bad name, because that's the way we are. We use one state to get work done of the other state. This is the way we are, right? Situation transaction match has to take place. Transaction should be compatible to the situation to produce positive functions and relations. It's very important. The assumption that AA transaction the best is not correct. We assume that A and A is correct. Like I told you earlier, it is not always correct, because there are times when only exchange of information alone is not enough. We have to understand the state from where the person is operating. So AA transactions are appropriate only for strategic and important situations that require knowledge and expertise of other party. But when you're touching human base, when you're in appraisal, for example, performance appraisal, if the performance appraiser sitting there is in an A state and you are also in an A state, things may work out. But when it comes to certain emotional issues which you are handling, then you have to express it to the appraiser. And that appraiser has to be in a parental state, that to a nurturing parent, to understand you. Then the organization starts supporting its people and ensures that conflicts are brought to the minimum. It's all understanding. Everybody has to go through the training and coaching to know this. Okay? AC transactions can be used for routine managers and subordinate interactions. And managers, AC means adult child. When I want to get something done, adult child comes into picture. Managers need to be nurturing parent ego state when subordinates are in adaptive child state. I've already explained this. I'm skipping it. I'm taking it further. Okay? Stroking. What is stroking? Stroking, as the name indicates, is about stroking. It's like, you know, somebody strokes you in the back. It's a recognizing presence of the other. I'm giving you validation. It may be positive strokes, it could be negative strokes, it could be sarcastic, it could be mixed. From the way a person pats you or touches you, you can make out whether it's negative or positive. Is it not a fact? Positive stroking develops interpersonal relations. Negative and mixed stroking damages interpersonal relationship. Sarcastic stroking is highly dangerous in interpersonal relation. Now this is very dangerous. In today's working, we come across people who talk sweetly, politically correct, but there's a sarcasm in their tone. And you cannot point out and say that, hey, you were trying to say something nasty to me because it's politically correct. In the room will say, this man was sarcastic, but you can feel it. And he also knows it. This is called a sniping. And they snipe you. And this sarcastic stroking is something that is very dangerous. You must learn to recognize it after understanding and studying this. Right? Now we talk about another important model called Johari windows. Some of you must be knowing about it. It's Johari comes from the word two people who created it. Joseph Luft and Harry Ingham. So J-O-H-A-R-I is coming together. Johari windows. That's how the name comes. It's based on the fact, let me explain in my words, okay? There is information about me, I know, I'm wearing this jacket, I'm holding this pointer in my hand, there's information about it, I know. You are watching me now on your laptop window or whatever, and you know I'm holding it in my hand, you can see this jacket also. Information about me, I know. Information about me, you know. This is called as my open self. Transparent. There is no confusion, there are no two things, nothing is being hidden. It's very clear, it's very obvious. There are things about me I know, but I haven't told you. Things about me I know, but things about me which you do not know. This is called as hidden self, which I have not disclosed to you. There are things about me I do not know, but you know. The way I'm talking, the way I'm making facial expressions, I'm not aware of it at this moment, but you guys are watching me. This is called as my blind self or my blind identity. Blind self. Blind spots. There are things about me I do not know, and those very things which I do not know, even you do not know. That's called as the undiscovered self or the unknown self. Now, when you know this thing about two people, it is about A and B. A, me, B, you. A can be person, B can be person. A can be person, B can be a group. A can be a group, B can be a group. So it is person to person, person to group, group to group. So I can have a Johari windows that way. Now I have a Johari window of me with respect to you. A with respect to B, one Johari window. If I want to know you better, then we must have two Johari windows. B with respect to A. Your Johari windows with respect to me. When you draw these two things, we'll come to know where we stand in each other. It's again a detailed training. I'm not getting into too much of details of it. Let me take you further. Whatever I've explained is there on the screen. Consider two individuals, A and B, open self. Information that A knows about himself or herself. And B also knows that information about A. This results in openness, compatibility and least interpersonal conflict. It's very clear and obvious. Hidden self, information that A knows about himself or herself, but B does not know that information about A, since A has not yet disclosed that information. Underline the word disclosed. blind self information about A, that A himself or herself does not know, but B knows that information about A. Fourth one, undiscovered self or unknown self, information about A that A does not know, and the same information about A that B also does not know. These are the four different windows. Now those four windows are useful in understanding each other so that conflicts get reduced. Now where are the places where the conflict takes place? Let's try and understand. Engaging in complementary transaction from transaction analysis is one part of it, which is moved over to this particular slide. Now moving in Johari windows, I move from open self through self-disclosure and feedback. Two things I need to do. If you see the Johari window, open self is the best self. That window is having a certain dimension. Similarly, I have a hidden self window. I also have a blind self window. Blind self means what? Things about me you are seeing, you are knowing. So I must say, give me feedback. I must have the openness to take a feedback. Sir, this is what you are doing. I am not understanding. Sir, this particular topic, it went a bumper. In the classroom, I am talking. Here, I have no means of feedback from you. Okay? So, when I ask for feedback, I know to correct myself. When I disclose, they know in the context that this is an additional thing about him which we need to know. So, given a context, one should be in a position to give a feedback so that the context serves a purpose. One should be able to disclose so that the context serves the purpose. If in one context at home I need to disclose about where I had been during the evening, it's very important context. But I don't have to disclose that in another context. Okay? So moving towards open self through self-disclosure and feedback in Johari window model is very important. So that when I disclose, my hidden self window gets reduced and the open self increases more. Similarly, when I ask for feedback and I act upon it, I become more open to you. My blind self becomes less in its area, the window, and then my open self area will increase. That means I'll become more and more open. Emotional management by emotional intelligence is very important. And then we talk about management through reason and action. Okay? Strategies for conflict resolution. Now we come to conflict resolution. How do we do it? There are different strategies we talk about. Imagine an X, Y axis and a Y axis. Rather, Y axis and X axis. Okay? And in this, there are certain positions. A conflict between you and me will get resolved. A conflict between you and me will get resolved only when I am willing to resolve and you are also willing to resolve. So along the x-axis and the y-axis, there is a willingness that we are putting across. Willingness of A to resolve a conflict, willingness of B to resolve a conflict. Now I may have a very low willingness to resolve a conflict. You may also have very low to resolve a conflict. This is called as a lose-lose strategy. It's at the, let's say, a situation called 1-1 on the graph. We are both saying, I don't know, I'm not interested, and you're also not interested. This is, happens at the very initial stages. Both individuals are losing. This is called as a lose-lose strategy. Both are losing because what we are doing is we are assuming that there is no conflict. Assuming no conflict, many people do. When you do that, you do not know what's going to come in the future. If there's a conflict, address it. If it's a small conflict and you address it, it can change faster. Different approaches include compromise, payoff, use of arbitrator, resort to bureaucratic regulations. So lose-lose strategy is dangerous. I lose, I'll also see that. I'll sink in the water, I'll see that you also sink. It's a very destructive way of doing a conflict resolution. Win-lose. I win and you lose. This is arrogance. One party wins and the other loses. This is the type of strategy wherein I have a willingness, I want to resolve a conflict with you, not because of you, because I care for you, because I care for my sleep. So I'll come and say sorry and I just go away because I feel I'll be absolved of everything if I say sorry. I win, you lose. I have least consideration for you, maximum consideration for myself. This is a very way of, you know, making a strategy happen, resolving a strategy. Win-win. A win-win is one wherein
I really want to build a bridge with you, genuinely, and you also want to genuinely build a bridge with me. So we are into win-win strategy, wherein I make the strategy in such a way that we both collaborate and not compete with each other. Aim is at solving the problem and not beating the other party. Now we are talking about intergroup conflicts. Conflict between two groups. They arise due to overlapping roles, absence of cooperation, collaboration and understanding, competition for some same facilities, okay, resource crunch, lack of open-minded approach, more concerns for group goals rather than organization goals, resistance to communication. These are all things which you can just think about it. There is a long list you can keep on adding. Just ponder over it and take your own examples. You will come to know what we are talking about. Okay, friends. Strategies for conflict resolution. Again, we are giving the earlier one in a different form. Avoidance. Keep the conflict from surfacing. One way of doing it, which I do not recommend. Diffusion. Deactivate the conflict. That means just diffuse it. Say, do something and see that the conflict doesn't take place by changing the perception, by a dialogue, by a counseling. Containment. Allow the conflict to surface. Discuss and resolve the issue. Bring it out. Confrontation. Not fight. Confrontation means bring out the issue and let the groups reach a solution or a resolution. And the win-win situation. Try and work out a win-win situation solution to satisfy both the groups. Right? Taking it further, information sharing. Many times conflict are arising because we do not have proper information. And we also have some gossip information, hearsay. So if groups are allowed to share information, we will have a conflict resolution happening better. Free flow of communication should be encouraged. Trust and confidence, and ensure that team building takes place. Interdepartmental teams encourage people to focus on organization goals. Okay? Thank you very much.